Proverbs chapter 22. Let's get right to the study tonight. Proverbs 22. We are in the middle of a series on finances, and they are Christian finances. We're looking at finances from a biblical perspective, all right? And so this is our fourth installment of this series, all right? We have looked at, first of all, stewardship. That was the first lesson that we looked at, which really lays the groundwork. That is the foundation for living a balanced Christian life in regard to finances, is understanding the principle of stewardship. After that, we looked at the need to be frugal, frugality. There's a word we don't like to hear very often, but that is an important piece of Christian finances. And then the last time we were together on a Sunday night where I was the one speaking, then we talked about budgeting, another word that very few people like, but an important one, all right? And if we're going to be good stewards of God's money, we do need to plan. And I hope that that has been a blessing to you. Now tonight, we're going to look at the area of debt. So this is the fourth in our series, and Proverbs 22, verse number 7, is the verse that I chose for the text verse. So Proverbs 22, 7, and I will read it, then we'll pray, and we'll get right into the lesson here tonight. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Notice that last phrase, the borrower is servant to the lender. Whenever you and I borrow money from someone or some institution, what we are doing is we are putting ourselves in a situation of subservience to that individual or to that institution. That is a Bible principle that is important for us to remember. So tonight we're going to talk about debt and whether or not it's good and whether or not it's bad and when it's okay and when it's not okay. And I'm not going to give you a bunch of rules and say that you have to do it my way, all right? But I do want to give you some Bible principles, hopefully that will help you, and hopefully we can look at it from a biblical perspective so that when we make a decision on debt, we can do so not just from our own human wisdom, but from God's wisdom, all right? Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the message. Father, thank you for the wonderful opportunity to preach your word to your people. Lord, I do thank you for these, your people, their faithfulness. Lord, they are a blessing to me and an encouragement to me. I pray that tonight you would meet their spiritual needs. Lord, I know that you love them more than I do. You care for them much more than I do. And you long to be glorified in their lives. And I pray that you would do the work tonight through your word and even using me as your mouthpiece to preach your word, to do that in their lives. Lord, I ask that you would help each and every person here, old and young alike, that you would help them all, help us all, to be able to get a hold of this area of finances. And Lord, to be wise with our finances, to handle them biblically so that you are glorified through our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. We began this series talking about stewardship, and we began the series talking about the fact that if we do not have a handle on our finances as Christians, then we are not balanced Christians. Even if we have everything else right and we dress properly and we look right and we do all the right things, if our finances are a mess, then we're not walking in God's will for us. Well, debt is a big part of that. If we are in debt up to our eyeballs, if we are like the, by the way, like the average American, then we are not glorifying God and we are not balanced in our finances. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but you can look them up, not now, as Brother Barber would say. All right, don't Google it now, but you can find later on the statistics on debt in America, and it is unbelievable. We pick on Congress, don't we, about the $1 trillion worth of debt that we rack up as a nation every 100 days, approximately. Boy, that ought to just make you want to puke right there, right? But we can pick on Congress all day long, but as American citizens, we are as well in personal debt up to our eyeballs. The average American today, from what I've been told, is paying now as much interest on their credit card debt and other kinds of unsecured debt as they are on their home mortgage. On a monthly basis, it's the same or more. Okay? So as a society, we have gone debt crazy. One of the problems with it, and I realize that we're not in an economics class, but Part of the problem is, for many years now, most of my adult life, credit has been very cheap. Well, that has, of course, caused the economy to stay afloat for a little bit, but it's also caused prices to go through the roof. It's one of the reasons, right, why few people can afford a home these days is because credit is so inexpensive that it has caused prices to go through the roof. And maybe we could talk about that some other time or whatever. But we as well then have gone to where now we are over-leveraged as Americans. So I put on the very front page of your notes there, debt has the potential to bring your financial house to ruin. You can make a lot of money. And you can have a great job and a great education that you worked hard to get, and now you've landed a good job, and you're making a good salary, and you can even be good in many other areas. But if you get into debt, it can bring your financial house to ruin. So let's open our notes there and look at number one. What do we mean by debt? Well, first of all, debt is simply defined as something that is owed or an obligation. Very simple. Something that is owed. So here are some types of debt. Now, I put in there, this is not an exhaustive list. Again, I'm not an economic expert or anything like that, but I know a little bit about these things, but I listed some of the most common forms or types of debt. First of all, debt can be secured or unsecured, and these things make a difference. They can be secured or unsecured. I put in there under your notes there under Roman numeral 1 that secured debt is backed by collateral, i.e. if you have a mortgage on your house, that would be secured debt. That means that if you fail to pay, that the bank has a recourse, they can come and repossess your house. Often an auto loan will be the same way. There's some collateral behind it. And those kind of loans many times will get you better rates of interest because there's less risk involved, okay? But then there's also different kinds. There's, of course, unsecured, which means there's no collateral behind it. The bank has nothing to go and get if you fail to pay. Roman numeral 2, debt can be revolving or installment debt. Installment debt has a strict payment schedule. Again, think your mortgage, right? It's planned out. When you sign those papers, there's an amortization schedule. That means on this day you pay this and this. It's all planned out for the next, most of the time, 30 years, isn't it? That's installment debt. And there's a plan to get out of it. You can pay early, and I would encourage you to do that if you're able, right? You can pay early, but at the same time, you don't have to, and that's an installment plan. While revolving debt has no specific plan, and it can be paid or added to at the drop of a hat. Think credit cards. You have a limit, but it's revolving because you can pay it down and pay it all off, and the next day go back in $10,000 or whatever the limit is, right? So that is a type of debt. Can you see in there types of debt that would have less wisdom attached to them than another kind of debt? All right, hopefully you can see that just from the get-go. Roman numeral 3, another type of debt. Common types of debt are your home mortgage or car loan. I tried to place these in my opinion of the order of wisdom versus foolishness, okay? Foolishness being toward the bottom. A home loan or a mortgage or a car loan, those are secured debt and they're installment usually. A student loan, it's unsecured debt usually, but it is an installment. Usually there's a plan once you start working, once you start getting a paycheck, then it's gonna need to be paid off unless Biden comes to the rescue. Yes, exactly. All right, personal loan is another kind, right? That's unsecured and it's installment most of the time. And then credit card. I put that one as last. And I know there are other forms of debt that are even less wise than a credit card, but it is unsecured and it's revolving. There's nothing behind it and you can just add to it. That is major risk. When a bank looks at your credit score, they look, hey, basically they count it as if you were already $15,000 in debt because you could do that at the drop of a hat if that's your limit that you're able to do, okay? So that is often unwise. By the way, the average debt right now on a credit card is somewhere in the upper 20s%. That's crazy. All right. Number 2, what does the Bible say about debt? Because that's really what's important. First of all, letter A, God's blessings mean freedom from debt. The Bible lays that out. God's blessings are associated with freedom from debt. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 6, "For the Lord thy God blesseth thee." He's talking to the nation of Israel right before they go into the promised land. "As he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee." Can you see that it was insinuated from the very beginning with God's nation, the nation of Israel, that as they were going to the promised land, his blessing was going to be upon them. And one of the ways that that would be seen is that they would be the lender, not the borrower. And so if you and I are consistently in our life going through life needing to borrow, then I would submit to you that our finances are not what they ought to be. We're not enjoying the blessings of God. All right? So there's something wrong that we're doing. If it's a consistent need, just like we talked about this morning, everybody goes through times of difficulty and mistakes that are made, and sometimes tragedy strikes. But barring those things, if it is a consistent life pattern that we are having to borrow, then something's not right. I do not believe that that is God's plan for most Christians over a long period of time. Now, letter B, debt is compared to slavery. We won't look up Nehemiah 5, but you can look that up later. You may remember as Nehemiah was dealing with God's people after the time that they were in Babylon, he was scolding the people of Israel because they were lending money to one another, and it caused some of the people to have to mortgage their houses and lands to the point where they even said, "Listen, we're at the end of our rope, and we're going to have to sell ourselves into slavery if this goes any further." So debt is compared to slavery. Our text verse is Proverbs 22:7. "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." That's how debt is spoken of in the Bible. Letter C, debt should be feared. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 6. Debt should be feared. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse 1. "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger." By the way, the stranger there is a reference to the fact that in the nation of Israel, in the land of Israel, they were not allowed under Mosaic law to charge interest to one another. If they were to lend to one another, it had to be interest-free. And so, lending didn't happen a lot, you can imagine. So, other strangers from other countries would come in, and they had permission to lend to the Jews with interest. Think banks. And so often that would be referred to as striking hands with a stranger, shaking hands with someone from another country. That was a sign you're doing business and you're getting charged interest. So he's saying, "If thou be surety for thy friend," so your friend wants to buy something and you're backing it up saying, "I promise that if he doesn't pay, I will pay. If thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Again, it's a picture of slavery. "Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend." In other words, just pay the debt. Verse 4, "Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." How serious does a roe look at a hunter who is after him? Oh, he takes it very seriously. And when he is running with everything he has. It is a life or death situation. And the wisdom here of Solomon is to the person that he's writing to is, listen, if you are in debt, recognize that you are in a fearful situation. Run for your life. It's important. This is not something to just meander through and we'll figure it out and eventually it'll be okay. No, listen, be like that roe who's being hunted down. Get out of there as quick as you can. That's the idea there that is given. Chapter 11, verse 15, I put it in your notes, "He that is surety for a stranger," in other words, he's borrowing from somebody with interest, "shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure." You'd be better off to hate it with everything you have. Okay, that's what the Bible says about it. Letter D, debt often leads to a loss of possessions. You can look up Proverbs 20, verse 16 on your own, but Proverbs 22, verses 26 to 27, Be not thou one of them that strike hands or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? You see, debt often leads to a loss of things you currently have. We often look at it as, hey, it's a way for me to get something I don't have. The Bible says you need to realize that debt is actually something that can lead to you losing what you currently have. We ought to fear debt. It ought to be something that we respect. Using the illustration that I like to share with you often is, in my home, we have firearms. And I like firearms. I enjoy them. But one of the things that I, especially as I get older, one of the things that I feel around firearms is I'm fearful of them. Not fearful as in I will never handle them. Oh, I handle them. But I respect them greatly. And whenever I have one or one of my children has one, listen, I am very watchful. My senses are keen on paying attention. And I try, especially with a handgun, to be very careful that I know at all times where that thing is pointed, whether it's loaded or not. I am careful about that. And especially when my kids are around and I have the gun, I am scared to death one of these days I will accidentally do something that would just be something I can't even imagine. I am afraid of that. That's a good kind of fear. Wouldn't you agree with me? That is a good thing. Same thing when I'm handling a skill saw. I've seen what those can do. I am very scared of what they do, so I handle them with care. You know, that's the way you and I should look on debt. And oftentimes we don't. When that credit card advertisement comes in the mail, sometimes we look at it and it'll say, hey, today you can, you ever get those ones where it's just a blank check? And they're like, hey, right now, I mean, just all you have to do is sign this check and cash it and you'll have all this money. Listen, you ought to pick that up like it's on fire and be afraid of it. Tear it up as quick as you can, get rid of it. Because debt can bring your financial house to ruin. Then letter E, God's desire for Christians is freedom from debt. Romans 13 and verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. God's plan, God's desire for his people is that they would have freedom from debt. Now, let me encourage you, if you take one thing away from the message here tonight, take that principle away from it. That God's desire is not for you to long-term be in debt. God wants you free from that. And I'm not, I hope you understand, a prosperity preacher. I'm not going to tell you that if you will, you know, send in the money to Mike Weiss International Ministries, that is seed faith and boy, God is going to return. I'm not, nope, Mike Weiss International Ministries does not exist, all right? I'm not going to lie to you like that, but I do believe that God does want us free from debt. We may not have much. Our couch may be, you know, 25, 30 years old. But God wants us free from debt, right? We may be shopping at the thrift store, but God wants us free from debt, right? We might drive an old rust bucket, but God wants us free from debt. That's something that you and I need to keep in mind. That is God's plan. So that leads us to number three, which is a great question. Is debt moral or immoral? Does the Bible explicitly say that it's sin for you and me to be in debt? And I would say, letter A, outside of the statement in Romans 13:8, there's nothing concrete in the Bible about the morality of borrowing money. And even Romans 13:8, the verse that we just listed, although it may give us the truth that God does not desire us to be in debt, the context is not even specifically about borrowing money or not. The context is about paying our taxes. And that we ought to not owe a man anything, but to love one another. So I don't want to come here before you and give you the idea, and I've heard some preachers do it, and they're good preachers, and I'm not against them, and they would disagree with me, and that's fine. But I don't think that we have a biblical stand to say it is wrong for you ever to go into debt. I think there are times where, especially in our day and age, it's almost a requirement in some situations. Almost. And part of that is our culture. And again, it's messed up. We live in a messed up financial system, okay? Again, the reason home prices are so high is because we are basing everything on credit. If tomorrow the whole banking system went away and everybody had to buy a house based on how much money they had in hand, the prices would plummet. And by the way, we'd actually kind of get back toward reality. I've owned my home, I've paid my mortgage, I'll put it that way, for 5 years. My home has gone up in value approximately $120,000. That's ridiculous. I didn't make that many improvements on it. It's just a number that people are willing to throw out and pay. It's not reality, okay? So we live in a world where, again, if you're gonna buy a home in these days, the idea of saving up enough money to buy even a small home these days is almost impossible. And it's getting that way with cars, by the way. Again, the prices that new cars go for is ridiculous. I'm sorry, it's not worth that much, especially if it's something that's American made. Okay? They're just not worth that much. But we're getting to the point where it's hard to save off enough money to buy a car that's worth anything. Okay? So I don't want to give you the idea that it's immoral. But let's look at, again, what the Bible says here. Letter B, the majority of passages that deal with the morality of debt are commands indicating the need not to abuse others through lending money. That's God's focus on debt in the Bible. Is if you're going to loan money out to someone else, don't take advantage of them. Especially a brother. Especially someone who is saved. You and I ought to look at lending them something as trying to be a blessing to them. And even those who are not saved. Listen, we ought to not take advantage of people. Deuteronomy 23, 19 to 20, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. The majority of scriptures in the Bible regarding debt are about the fact that if you do lend money out, don't take advantage of other people. And by the way, wouldn't it be a blessing if in the world today we lived in a capitalist society where the majority of people were God-fearing Christians and they looked at their business as, yes, an opportunity to make money, but an opportunity also to be a blessing to others. And my brother Pritchett and I have had conversations, and my wife and I have had conversations lately where everybody and anybody has got to make a lot of money off of whoever they can possibly make money out of. And we live in a society that has taken capitalism to a far extreme that is not good. Now, the answer is not communism or socialism. The answer is fearing God. That's the answer. All right? But you and I may not be able to make others do right, but we can do right. Letter C, so the backside of your notes there. However, borrowing money always has a negative connotation in God's word. To the best of my knowledge, every time I found it in God's word, it's always a negative connotation. So do you recognize that sometimes in God's word, he does not give you a thou shalt not? But yet he wants you to have the wisdom and the maturity to say, okay, I can do this, but that doesn't mean I should do this. Isn't that maturity? And debt, I believe, in God's word is one of those things. I don't think God says absolutely not, you cannot. But I believe if you and I are wise, we'll look at it, it's always in a negative connotation. So this is something God probably does not want me to do most of the time. So letter D, a couple things to keep in mind about the morality of debt. Number one, first, there is a danger with debt that we would presume upon the future. To some extent, we're always presuming upon the future with debt, to some extent. But here's what I want you to think about. For instance, several years ago, my family and I moved out of the parsonage so we could have our own place. Now, I had a couple of options. I could buy a place, which meant I would have to take out a mortgage because I didn't have the money to just pay out of pocket, okay? So I would have to take out a mortgage, and every month I would make payments to the bank. Now, I make my payments on the first day of the month. In between the first day of, let's just say January, to the first day of February, the bank has no right to bother me. I owe them nothing. I've made my payment. And as long as I make the payment on February 1st, they cannot bother me legally. They cannot come after me and say, you know what? We changed our mind. You have to give us the rest of the mortgage now. No, we have a legal contract. As long as I make my payments every month, I owe them nothing right now. Okay? Or I could have, again, rented an apartment for probably a little bit more than what my mortgage is, and I'd be doing the same thing. I would sign a lease promising them I will pay this amount for the next year, and as long as I pay that amount every month, then they can't bother me and kick me out. That's a legal agreement, right? So that's why I say, to some extent, even with secured debt that has a schedule to it, like a mortgage, to some extent, we're presuming upon the future, but I would also submit to you that it's not presuming upon the future in this regard, that the truth of the matter is, if tomorrow the economy crashes and the church is not able to pay me a salary anymore and I don't have any money to pay my mortgage, then the bank will come and take my house and I'm back to square one. Okay? So there is some presuming upon the future, but I'm not just borrowing for fun, borrowing for a good time. There is some wisdom in that. But I want you to look at James chapter number 4, and I want you to see that you and I need to be careful with debt, that we're not presuming upon the future. In other words, where I would be foolish, where you would be foolish, would be to think to ourselves, okay, well, James chapter number 4, okay, I have this job now, and I can sneak by on these payments for a year, and I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get a better job within a year, and so I'm going to sign this mortgage that says that I can make low payments now, and this rate will adjust in a couple of years, but by then I'm pretty sure I'll have a good job. You see, that's presuming upon the future, isn't it? Hopefully you can see the lack of wisdom in that. James chapter 4, look at verse number 13, if you would, please. James chapter 4, verse 13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So again, all debt to some extent is presuming upon the future. But in some situations, you have to just make a decision on, I'm going to do so carefully. I'm going to try not to presume that things are going to get better later. I'm going to try to make as wise of a decision as I possibly can based on the knowledge and the information I have now. I'm going to be a good steward of the money that God has given me. Second point about things to keep in mind about the morality of debt. There is an insinuation with debt that we don't have what we need. Sometimes debt comes because of tragedy. You know, some people get into debt because a medical emergency comes and they just have to go into debt based on their insurance covers a certain amount, or maybe they don't have insurance or whatever, but the deductible is so high and they go into debt because of it. That happens in life, doesn't it? Or some other tragedy that goes on. So sometimes there is debt that way, and I don't condemn anyone who's in that situation. I don't think any of us ought to condemn and say, well, they're immoral because they took out debt. But at the same time, if the truth be told, most of the time, we're in debt not because of an emergency, not because of a tragedy. Most of the time, our debt, here it comes, is because of covetousness. Because there is something that we want that we don't have. Again, we're not talking about a need, like, again, a home, transportation, and just buying the lowest, basically, that would be within our range and what we can afford, and, you know, not being extravagant with it in a car or in a home or something like that. We're not talking about needs, but just, man, I'd really like a watch like that. Or I'd really like a car that looks like that. Or I'd really like this thing or that thing, or my clothes aren't what I want them to be, and so I'm going to go in debt for those things. Most of the time, the debt that we have and the debt that causes us problems is because of covetousness. We're insinuating that God has not given us what we need, and that's not true. First Timothy chapter 6, it's in your notes, verses 7 to 10. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, in other words, they desire to be rich, they're seeking it. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, notice this last part, they have erred from the faith. Money can affect us spiritually. And pierce themselves through with, what are the next two words? Many sorrows. How many times are we in debt up to our eyeballs and we're laying awake at night and we're stressing out on whether or not we can pay the bills and we're trying to decide who we're going to pay tomorrow so that, you know, the next day somebody won't be knocking on our door or calling our phone. And we're laying in bed stressing over that all because we wanted to be rich. Oh, we didn't say it that way, but we wanted to live as if we were rich. Again, we wanted the shoes that other people had, or we wanted the clothes or the car or the, you know, lifestyle that other people had, and we weren't content with the fact that God gave us a job that paid this amount of money and we could live off of this amount. It wasn't enough for us. We're covetous, and we say, God, I want more. And now we're in trouble, and it's all because we were covetous. When we're talking about the morality of debt, I don't believe God lays something out black and white for us. It's never okay to borrow that type of a thing. And again, other pastors would disagree with me. That's fine. I don't think God lays that out for us, but I think God does call you to maturity and to recognize, be careful of covetousness. And young couples, if you're going to buy a house, I would suspect most of you are probably going to have to get out a mortgage. And that's fine. I don't think that's, again, immoral. But let me encourage you to buy less of a house than what you are approved for. Just because the bank says you can borrow this amount of money doesn't mean that you need to take out that amount of money and buy a house that fits in that amount. Be wise and borrow enough for what you need. And again, if you need a car and you're in a situation where hopefully you can start saving up some money before you need a car, but if you're not able to do that and you have to borrow some money to get a car, which, by the way, is a horrible thing to do because the market on cars fluctuates so much, most of the time you lose money on it. But if you do have to borrow to do it, then listen, don't buy the fanciest car that you can possibly squeeze the payment out of your budget on. Buy something that will work, something that will function, that will get you from point A to point B in a reliable manner where you're not going to have to spend just tons of time in the repair shop, which usually means it's not American made, okay? I'm just teasing there, all right? I own a Dodge, so I understand about repairs, all right? But listen, buy what you can afford. Be careful that you're not covetous. And let's go to number four. What should be the Christian's attitude toward debt? Well, let's keep in mind, letter A, debt should be considered in light of what? Stewardship. Okay, if you're gonna think about debt, we have to go back to square one. That money that you get from your paycheck or that is given to you in whatever way, that money doesn't belong to you. It's God's money, and you are a steward of it, and you're gonna give an account to God for what you do with that money. So if you're going to use debt, then use it as a steward would use it. What would God want you to do? What would be a wise, godly way to use that debt? Would alone be good stewardship of God's money? Well, I can tell you again, there are probably many times where it would be a good use of God's money to use a loan to get a mortgage and buy a house for your family to live in, something you can afford. And maybe a car that's used and you're getting a good deal on and it's a reliable one and you pay it down as quick as you can. I can see how all those things would be fine. You got to be careful with it. But I can tell you this, using the plastic and pulling the plastic out of your card because, man, our family hasn't been out to eat in a long time and we don't have the money, but we're just going to charge it because the kids are after me about, you know, going to such and such, maybe it's Pizza Ranch or whatever. which should be called Chicken Ranch, by the way. It shouldn't be called Pizza Ranch. The pizza stinks. The chicken is really good. All right? But listen, the kids want to go to Pizza Ranch. And we haven't been there a long time. And so we're just going to charge it. I don't believe that's being a good steward of God's money. I don't believe God would want you to go into debt for convenience sake. Okay? Remember stewardship in all of these areas. Stewardship, 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 stewardship. And also, unsecured debt should only be in times of dire emergency. Keep that in mind when you talk about your attitude toward debt. Unsecured debt, a personal loan, using a credit card, only in a real emergency. Be careful with that. That is dangerous. That's where the high interest is, by the way. Okay, again, a mortgage, not anymore, but not that long ago, you could get a pretty good rate on a mortgage. All right? And even cars, not that long ago. Anymore, it's creeping up. But boy, credit cards, again, 28% is not uncommon on a credit card. So be careful. And then letter B, your attitude toward debt. Debt should be prayed about and planned. You should have a plan around that debt. You should know, okay, if you're going to take that out, how are you going to pay it off? Before you take that debt out, how am I going to pay this off? What is the plan? Because if God wants you to get into debt for that thing, then he wants you to have a plan to get out of debt. And if you don't have a plan, don't get in debt. Again, unless we're talking about a medical emergency, something like that, that's just, I can't even think about it. I just got to, pay this so my kid is taken care of by a doctor. That's different. But barring some tragedy like that, it's not God's will for you to do it just without a plan. Number five, what if I find myself in debt? All right, you say, Pastor, too late. Should have preached this message 3 years ago. Okay? 2 Kings, turn to 2 Kings. Just real quickly, we'll read these seven verses and I'll let you go. All right, 2 Kings, chapter number 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. By the way, isn't that a terrible thing when a husband gets into debt and doesn't have a plan for if he dies, how his wife is going to pay that off? Think life insurance, men, okay? Lots of it. In case you die, the mortgage is paid. Something like that. Verse number 2. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. What if I find myself in debt? Here's some things that we can learn from this. It's in your notes. Number one, recognize the gravity of the situation. Get serious about it. Don't play around with it. Be like a roe trying to escape from the hand of the hunter. This lady here recognized, if I don't get out of this debt, the creditor is going to come and take my sons and sell them for bondmen. That'll get you serious about debt. We may not live in a society that allows that, but your house, your financial house, can be brought to ruin if you don't get a handle on debt. So take it seriously and recognize the gravity of the situation. This is not a game. It's serious. Letter B, seek God. Very first thing. This lady went to the man of God. What do I do? Now, I want to encourage you, go straight to God. Recognize the gravity of the situation and say, Dear God, help me. Give me wisdom. Lord, I recognize I have not been wise, or some tragedy has come in my life and I'm in debt and I need to get out of this. God, I believe it's your will for me to get out of this debt. God, help me with this. Show me. Give me wisdom. Letter C, look at the resources that God has given you. That's what this lady did. Elisha sent her and said, okay, what do you have in your house? And I would encourage you, if you're in debt, let me ask you this. What do you have? What skills do you have? What can you sell? You have something in your house you don't need? Most of us have a lot of stuff we don't need. Okay? Get rid of it. Sell anything and everything you can. Dave Ramsey likes to say, sell so much stuff that the kids are afraid that they're next. That's a good way to put it, right? I mean, they're like, Mom, Dad, please don't sell me. All right? Because everything is gone. That is a good way to look at it. Sell whatever you can. A lot of times you have stuff that can get you out of at least a great part of it. Do something like that. And then look at what you have. I remember an individual I talked to once and was in a major amount of debt. And I encouraged this individual, listen, you have adult children still living in your home. Everybody in your home should be working. Get them working. That's good advice. Listen, if you find yourself in debt and you have teenage children, sit them down, talk to them, and if it's grave enough of a situation, let them know, hey, we're in this together and you're going to help with this. We're all going to work some extra hours, including you, and we're going to pay this off. Again, that's between you and the Lord, but I would encourage you to look and see what is there in your house, and maybe it means that you have to do away with some things. But look at what you have. Letter D, trust God to take the little and make it much. Don't despise, you know, cutting the cable bill and it's just $75 or $80 or whatever a month. And you say, well, that's not much compared to what we have. Listen, that little bit of chipping away at that debt makes more of a difference than you realize. That selling something for $5, $10 here or there, or $50 of this thing that you've had sit in the garage for a while or whatever, or that treadmill that is used as a coat rack, right? And you sell it for $100 or something like that. You may say, well, that's not much. That's not going to do much. Listen, add it up. It's amazing what little bits at a time will do. And trust God. God, when we get serious, I believe that God then blesses. When we just say, this is not right that I as a Christian should be enslaved to Chase Manhattan Bank. It is not God's will for me to be in debt to Discover. And we get serious about it. And we say, God, with your help, I'm going to do everything I have in my power. I believe God will then begin to bless. And then letter E there, use every drop of resources to pay the debt. Cut down to the bare minimum of what you need to live, and then use the rest to attack that debt, and you'd be surprised how quickly you can get out of debt. And then from then on, look at it in the right way. Use it wisely. Be careful. Fear it. Just like having a firearm in your hand. Can a firearm be used for good things? Yes. But it can also destroy lives in a moment. And debt is much like that. Can it be used for good? There are times. In rare occasions, but boy, it can destroy you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the lessons that we've learned tonight about debt. Please help us to be wise. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here in our midst that is in debt, would you give them a holy fervor to get out of debt and recognize the gravity of the situation, not so that they can become rich later and just live in luxury, but Lord, so that they can honor you, so that they can have peace in their home, their marriage could be blessed, they could give more to your cause, so they could even be generous when there's a brother or sister who has a need. Lord, I just pray that you'd help all of us in that way. Bless these, your people, as we dismiss here in just a few moments. Dismiss them with your blessing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.